welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayen Dangbior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Wednesday, March 25th, 2020. Sudan's defense minister dies in Juba.
This morning, the people of the Republic of South Sudan and the government receive with shock and sadness the untimely passing on of the Sudanese Minister of Defense, General Jamal Al-Din Omar.
And South Sudan closes its airport in the capital in response to the coronavirus.
And therefore, all international flights listing in from South Sudan, Juba International Airport, are advised to cease their operations by midnight.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudan Defense Minister Lieutenant General Jamal Al-Din Omar has died in Juba from a heart attack. General Jamal was in Juba for Sudanese peace talks mediated by President Salva Kiir. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
South Sudan Information Minister Michael Makwe calls General Jamal's death today in Juba a tragic incident.
This morning, the people of the Republic of South Sudan and the government receive with shock and sadness the untimely passing on of the Sudanese Minister of Defense, General Jamal Al-Din Omar.
Jamal was a member of the Sudan Sovereign Council, which took power under a 39-month power-sharing deal between the military and civilian groups after former President Omar al-Bashir was ousted from power last April. Mohamed Hassan Al-Taisi, spokesperson for the Sudanese government delegation at the peace talks in Juba, said in a statement that Jamal died of a sudden heart attack early Wednesday morning. Al-Taisi conveyed the government delegation's sincere condolences to the Sudanese people, their armed forces, and his gracious family. Jamal arrived in Juba last week to participate in talks about security arrangements between the Sudanese government and various opposition groups. Makwe says Jamal has been a great fighter and instrumental in the current peacemaking process in Sudan.
His unfortunate passing on is a great loss to the people of the Sudan and South Sudan.
The Sudanese government and several Sudanese rebel groups have been participating in peace talks since last August that have been mediated by top South Sudanese officials, including President Kiir. According to a statement released by the mediators, the parties are expected to complete the talks and sign a comprehensive peace deal next month. The talks have been focused on power sharing, security, and wealth sharing, among other things. The body of Jamal has been flown to Khartoum and was accompanied by the South Sudanese Minister of Defense, Angelina Teny, and the Minister of Investment, Diu Mathok, according to Makwe.
General Jamal is a well-known soldier, a patriot, and a committed individual to the peace in the Sudan. The government of the Republic of South Sudan passes its heartfelt condolences to His Excellency General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, the Chairman of the Sudanese Sovereign Council, the government, and the people of the Republic of Sudan on his sad and unfortunate situation.
Jamal was named defense minister after Sudanese armed forces toppled former President Bashir following several months of mass protests against his 30-year rule. General Jamal was 60 years old. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Sudanese officials reported a third case of coronavirus after a Sudanese man who returned from an Arab country tested positive. A Sudanese official says the man is in quarantine. The government has imposed a nationwide curfew to fight the spread of the coronavirus. Michael Atit has this report for VOA from Juba.
Sudanese Sovereign Council member Sadiq Taur, who heads a special health committee on COVID-19, says the curfew begins from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. local time across Sudan and will continue for at least 2 weeks. Speaking in Arabic, Taur told reporters in Khartoum that the government will suspend all public buses operating in Sudanese towns beginning Thursday. He is calling on the citizens to stay home with their families as the only means to stop the spread of the highly contagious virus.
As we are all aware, there is no cure and no vaccine for this pandemic. The only cure is to suspend all kinds of gatherings and stay home with our family.
Taur says Sudanese medical workers are holding 17 people in quarantine who may have the virus and are being tested. Addressing the nation last night on the state-owned television, General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, head of the Sudanese Sovereign Council, urged Sudanese to practice personal hygiene while staying home. Speaking in Arabic, Al-Burhan appealed to citizens to work collectively and avoid cultural practices that help spread the virus.
We should all refrain from all types of spontaneous behavior among ourselves and observe the health precautions and security measures that we are told to follow in order to put an end to the spread of the virus. Our economy and our healthcare system cannot take the spread of this deadly virus.
Al-Burhan says a national fund has been created to accept donations that would be used to fight the coronavirus. He is asking citizens to help the government create awareness about COVID-19.
My countrymen and women, I am calling on all of you, young and old, to take a high and serious level of responsibility and observe the culture of health awareness among our people so that we are able to get through this painful moment the whole world is facing.
Intisar Alwadi, who lives in Khartoum's Jabra neighborhood, says the travel ban has affected her plans to take a new job. Speaking in Arabic, Alwadi says she was preparing to take up a new social counseling consultancy in one of the Gulf countries, but COVID-19 stopped those plans.
I got an opportunity to go to United Arab Emirates and work there, but now due to the spread of corona, the program was suspended. I hope that this epidemic ends soon so that I am able to go and get a better job there.
Juno Elia, a South Sudanese national who works as a primary school teacher in Khartoum, says the forced holiday allow her to be home more with her two children and nurture their spiritual growth.
We have a spiritual program, prayers, because of Easter. We don't know if we can pray Easter this year or no. And also we are making program after Easter. What are we going to do?
Sudanese health authorities have reported 3 confirmed cases of coronavirus. One man died shortly after returning from the United Arab Emirates. The other 2 are under quarantine in Khartoum. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
South Sudan has shut down Juba International Airport and all border entry points to prevent the spread of COVID-19. The head of Juba International Airport says aviation officials have canceled all passenger flights from Kenya and Ethiopia scheduled to arrive in Juba. Lasuba Memo reports for VOA from Juba.
A task force comprised of senior government officials chaired by First Vice President Riek Machar met to assess risks of the pandemic spreading to South Sudan. Following the meeting, Makur Koryam, the undersecretary in the Ministry of Health, read a decision of the task force on the state-run television.
And after having considered the current situation in countries around us and having observed or realized the risk posed by the continuing operations of regional airlines in South Sudan and the risk these airplanes carry with them to South Sudan, the task force resolved the following on the restriction closure of Juba International Airport, and therefore all international flights distant and from South Sudan, Juba International Airport are advised to cease their operations by midnight.
Kurkol Ajiu, director of Juba International Airport, says when the order was issued, he acted immediately to ensure no planes landed.
Immediately, as from today, until further notification, all we shut down their operation to South Sudan. So there will be no any flight, passenger flight to come.
Right.
The government may be sometimes like a cargo that we can allow, but provide that with the precautions that the pilot could not get out from the plane. And then we disembark the cargo, and then the plane goes back.
Only cargo planes carrying humanitarian relief aid can travel in and out of the country. Makur also says flights passing through South Sudan airspace are free to fly as long as they don't land anywhere in the country, and those seeking emergency landing are allowed, but on condition that their passengers remain on the plane. Makur says border crossing points with the neighboring countries are closed.
Coming to South Sudan or traveling to neighboring countries will cease as of midnight tonight, and only cargo buses and trucks, food trucks and fuel tankers will be allowed.
Speaking in Arabic, Juba resident Gismala Sebit welcomes the decision, saying other countries have done the same earlier, and it is for the good of all South Sudanese.
The decision is not bad. It is for the good of all South Sudanese, because all countries have done the same. I call upon South Sudanese to pay much attention on this issue.
He's speaking in Arabic. Juba resident Peter, who prefer to be identified by a single name, also supports of the government's decision.
Order the issue is good. It is to enable us to protect ourselves. Even the directive that people should not crowd in one place is good. Their message to us is right, because we need to monitor our country.
Members of the high-level task force on COVID-19 noted with concern in their meeting yesterday that certain senior government officials who arrived in the country over the weekend refused to observe the 14-day self-quarantine.
The task force appealed to the senior government officials to observe these regulations and also instructs the law enforcement agencies, the police, the military, and the national security forces to take immediate action to impose these orders.
Makur did not specify which law enforcement agencies he was referring to. Vice President Rebecca Nyandeng, Defense Minister Angelina Teng, and Cabinet Affairs Minister Elia Lumoro were among those attending Monday's meeting of the high-level task force on the COVID-19 pandemic. For VOA News, I am Lasuba Memo in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. A prominent chief is killed in central Equatoria. Find out more after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
What job would you be really bad at and why?
For us to be a doctor, I don't think I would do it well, because I'm not actually confident at treating people. But I have that humanity of I can treat someone well, what, but I can't treat you like a patient.
I'll be really bad at any job that would tell me what to wear. I'm a person that doesn't like to use tie, especially. So any job that would tell me I have to talk in, I have to use tie, I have to resume by 7 a.m. and all, I'll be bad at that job, because it's not part of my ethics.
I'm not so good with handling gadgets, electronics and all, so I believe I'll be very bad at computer engineering. I wouldn't know how to go about it. I wouldn't know how to fix, you know, things here and there.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
A growing number of African nations are imposing strict measures to battle a still small but spreading outbreak of coronavirus across the continent. Some fear Africa may be a perfect storm when it comes to the virus, but experts say it also has some key strengths against the disease. For VOA, Lisa Bryant reports from Paris.
South Africa, Senegal, and Ivory Coast are among the latest African countries to announce new steps to contain COVID-19, including threats of heavy fines for violators.
Je déclare l'état d'urgence.
Ivorian President Alassane Ouattara declared a state of emergency on Monday and tightened restrictions, including imposing a dusk-to-dawn curfew.
Je déclare l'état d'urgence sur l'ensemble du territoire national.
The same message from Senegal's President Macky Sall. Both leaders have also earmarked funds to help their populations and health workers battle the virus. Coronavirus cases have been reported in more than 40 African countries to date, with South Africa the hardest hit. The numbers are still a fraction of those in Asia, Europe, or the United States, but experts fear that could change. Fragile health systems, poverty, population density in big cities, and insecurity could turn a major health problem into a catastrophe. Last week, World Health Organization Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus warned the continent must wake up to the coronavirus threat.
So the best advice for Africa is to prepare for the worst and prepare today.
The situation in Africa is even more worrying than elsewhere. But on other sides, there could be some factors that will make it maybe less dramatic than what is happening today in some countries.
Pierre Mendiarat is Deputy Director of Operations for humanitarian group Médecins Sans Frontières, or Doctors Without Borders. He says one of Africa's advantages is timing. The region is behind other places like China or Italy on the coronavirus trajectory.
Even in the worst case scenario, the peak will arrive later, and therefore maybe there will be more resources.
Which means African nations might be able to tap health supplies, like masks and oxygen machines, from countries where the pandemic has subsided, and take advantage of possible research advances like rapid testing and experimental treatments. African nations that weathered the Ebola outbreak might have an extra advantage, although experts note COVID-19 is far more contagious.
I think there the health authorities have learned a lot about the strategy against an epidemic, and the population has also learned a lot, and there are some common practicalities to fight against both diseases. For example, the hand washing.
So tough measures to slow coronavirus and to buy time to better fight it may be the best strategy for Africa right now. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
Companies that offer goods online in South Africa are reporting increased sales as the nation prepares for a lockdown to slow the spread of COVID-19. The country is the most technologically advanced in Africa, and internet shopping has been available here for more than two decades. But buying online has up until now proved popular among only a small segment of the population of around 60 million. From Johannesburg, correspondent Darren Taylor reports that the coronavirus pandemic is changing this.
Shopping online is as easy as making Black Twitter angry. Just download the app, find the thingy you want, and check out.
Just one of the many ads encouraging people in South Africa to shop online in the wake of COVID-19. Business experts estimate that online sales account for just 2% of the retail market in the country at the moment. But Dion Chang, the founder of the Flux Trends firm, which predicts and analyzes trends in South Africa, says this figure is misleading.
The consumer market technically is about your 12 to 15% of taxpayers. So firstly, it's the 2% of that 12% and not the 2% of the 100%. So, you know, relatively to the size of economies, we're not doing too bad.
Nevertheless, says Chang, South Africans have habits that have slowed the uptake of e-commerce.
We follow traditionally very, very much American mall culture.
He adds that while the digitalization of business is obliterating this culture around the world, this hasn't been so in South Africa.
Because we're in a divided economy, you've got people who will still go to a shopping mall for entertainment and for socializing and all of that.
Chang says the lockdown will end these pursuits for the time being and likely transform South African buyer behavior forever.
With everybody in isolation, you're just going to get a huge spike in people online, browsing, doing this, whatever.
So far, he says, South Africans are preparing for a long time stuck at home by buying entertainment online.
Slightly big ticket numbers, like a TV or something like that. So the whole mentality is if we're going to be holed up, we might as well kind of just do it with a bit of comfort and luxury. And a lot more subscriptions to online streaming services like your Netflix or your Spotify's or podcasts and stuff like that, besides toilet paper, of course.
But Chang says while citizens are ripe for change, most businesses in the country are not.
With just the complete panic buying that we've had, a lot of these online stores are not coping with capacity. A friend of mine who just came back from overseas was quarantined, so she spent like an hour doing a Woolworths shop, only to be told at checkout that, well, okay, we'll deliver in a week's time.
Chang says the coronavirus crisis should force South Africa's retailers to improve their e-commerce, because if they don't, they're going to lose plenty of business. But the analyst adds that even a big increase in online purchases may not be enough to save certain retail categories, such as clothing, from financial catastrophe.
We're going into lockdown just when all of these stores are going to bring out all of their winter stuff. If people are in further lockdown, that means nobody's going to buy that winter stock, which means it just sits dead.
In times of big crises, says Chang, it's always the smaller enterprises that suffer the most. Yet, even for them, he sees hope if they're able to rapidly improve their websites and their capability to deliver directly to homes. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
A community leader was brutally killed in Lujule Payam of Morobo County in South Sudan's central Equatoria state. One local official is blaming the National Salvation Front for the killing. But the holdout rebel group says South Sudan's government forces are responsible for the murder. Daniel Friday Martin has more for VOA from Yei Town.
Last weekend, a prominent area chief identified as Santino Tai Oliver was reportedly abducted from his residence during the night and later found beheaded. Speaking in Kakoa, a Lujule Payam community leader who identified himself only as Simon for security reasons told South Sudan in Focus the chief was killed by suspected members of the National Salvation Front, a rebel group created in 2017. He says the rebels also abducted two women.
Some armed men came and took him at night hours and they later killed him. Those were men believed to be from the National Salvation Front, and what we want from them is to release the other two women whom they took along with them, and we are now observing the transitional period. Why are these things happening again?
The killing has created fear and panic among the local population, including new returnees to the area, says Elizabeth Alomo, a former Lujule Payam lawmaker in the now defunct Ye River State Transitional Legislative Assembly.
I'm really condemning such killings to my chief, which has been really brutal, killed. People should really respect the human rights so that our people will be able to stay in peace. So I'm urging the government should really monitor what is happening in the locations that are in rural areas. And right now, it will make them to fear. Even others will not come.
Alomo says the recent ceasefire agreement signed between the government and the National Salvation Front rebels is being violated in her constituency. Last year, the Human Rights Watch accused both government and the National Salvation Front rebels of committing human rights violations, including attacks against civilians. In October, three IOM-8 workers were reportedly killed in Morobo in crossfire during clashes between government and the National Salvation Front. The rights group called for an investigation into those attacks. Area residents say, although the parties to the Revitalized Peace Agreement are concentrating on the full formation of the state and local governments in Juba, armed men continues to abduct and kill civilians in Lujule Payam. Hawa Adam, a women's rights activist in Ye River County, is calling on all parties to respect the cessation of hostilities agreement.
A lot of bad things are yet happening, so we are really condemning it. Release the two women who are up to now, they are not with us. And we are saying that such a thing should not really repeat itself because right now we are standing for peace.
In a press statement issued last week, National Salvation Front rebels said government forces were behind killings, harassment and looting of civilian properties around Lasu and Otogo Payams, west of Ye Town. Soba Samuel Manans, the spokesman for the National Salvation Front, doubled down on that statement today.
I've not got any information of that nature. We have Matenanyar there. Matenanyar has been the people who go back to Congo and kill people. Several times I've abducted people in Congo. We have people who go at night and do a lot of things. At the end of the day, they said it is National Salvation Front who is doing this. It is the forces of South Africa. It is Matenanyar who is doing all this.
The government categorically denies those allegations through its spokesman, Major General Lul Ruai Kwang. Ruai instead accused the National Salvation Front rebels of committing gruesome human rights violations against the civil population around the Ye area.
This is what we have been telling the rest. You know what Nas has been doing? They go around committing atrocities in the countryside and then they are accused that it is Nas that is committing crimes and trying to blame us for their own actions. And the only body that would be in a position to do investigation is City Sam, and we call upon City Sam to do just that.
Both Roy and Samuel claim their forces are committed to respecting the cessation of hostilities agreement across the country. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Ye, Central Equatorial State.
And here's a recap of today's stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, Ayan. Sudan Defense Minister Lieutenant General Jamal Eldin Omar died in Juba today from a heart attack. General Jamal was in Juba for Sudanese peace talks mediated by President Kiir. South Sudan Information Minister Michael McQuay said the South Sudanese people were shocked and saddened by Jamal's passing. Jamal was a member of the Sudan Sovereign Council, which took power under a power-sharing deal between the military and civilian groups after former President Omar al-Bashir was ousted from the administration. Last April, Jamal was 60 years old. South Sudan's interior minister has announced a nighttime curfew to fight the spread of COVID-19. Paul Akech Mayam says the 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew extends throughout the country, but that some people will be exempted from the curfew based on the nature of their jobs. And finally, Sudanese officials also imposed a nationwide curfew to fight the spread of coronavirus. Sudan Sovereign Council member Sadiq Tawar, who heads a special committee on COVID-19, says the curfew, like South Sudan's, extends from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. across Sudan and will continue for at least 2 weeks. The government also suspended all public buses operating in Sudanese cities and towns beginning on Thursday. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
And that's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Vumbi by Rayvanny featuring Diamond Platnumz.
It's the kids, baby.
Mwaga jasho migu iwake moto.
Timu wa vumbi, timu wa
kisigino kibebwe na ugoko.
Timu wa vumbi, timu wa
ruka ruka tusia mshe popo.
Timu wa vumbi, timu wa
buwa shati ukisikia joto.
Timu wa vumbi, timu wa
sato na kisanua.
Vumbi
tunawachafua.
Vumbi
tunawapa mafua.
Vumbi, vumbi, timu wa vumbi
tunakata funua.
Vumbi
wake zingua.
Vumbi
tunawapa mafua.
Vumbi, vumbi, timu wa vumbi
wanatukimbiza wasafie.
Wapo makundi makundi
lakini hawatupatie. Tunawaachia vumbi.
Timu wa vumbi, timu wa
We've been listening to Rayvanny featuring Diamond Platnumz with the song Vumbi. I'm Ayen Dangbior in Washington. Thanks for listening. And remember to join us tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Zuka ukipanda kuwashatika
asaka chile saga
saga saga
kamatia saga
saga saga
yesu kulie gaga
daga daga
kinaga ubaga twende
timua timua vumbe timua timua vumbe timua.